Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, the only way you can see that prayer, the only way it'll really have massive impact on you, is if you do what I've talked about so many times. You look from the top down, not from the bottom up. You look with the eyes of confession. Remember, confession is homo logio, which means to what?
Say the same thing.
Say the same thing.
You can't say the same thing unless you hear the same thing. You can't hear the same thing unless you see, you can't say the same thing unless you see the same thing. You can't see the same thing until you hear the same thing. Now that means you can no longer see yourself as a separate entity, isolated. You see yourself as he living his life in you. Otherwise, you're going to continually, no matter what you do, no matter how much you study, no matter how many times you come to Bible study, you are going to continually have this issue of a double mind. Who's talking? Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? How can you possibly have the kingdom of God in you as it is in heaven? Well, there's only one way. He has to be in you. And he has to be your only life. You're gone. There's no more you. And that's what it means to abandon yourself, to divorce yourself. Now, there'll be constant pressures to bring you back into, to resurrect this thing, to lead you into temptation. There'll be constant things going on daily. There'll be people that say things that'll ruffle your feathers. There will be things that you see that just make you crazy. There will be spiritual things you see that you say, why is this going? There's everything is trying to bring you back into double-mindedness. Does everybody understand that? Tom, what's going on?
No, I understand. I was just thinking about all the things that make you crazy every day, or make me crazy, or make everybody crazy. But is there, is this the yo-yo thing that you remember that God is in you while you're busy being crazy, or after busy being crazy, or when you're really after being crazy? Or is it?
Well, it doesn't have to be. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ is you are dead, he is alive. There's no more you.
Well, somebody is crazy.
Well, because you've allowed this thing to have sway over you again.
Yeah.
Now, if take no thought for your life, take no thought for tomorrow, take no thought for what you're going to eat, take no thought for what you're going to wear, take no thought. Because if you take thought about anything, you resurrect the evil one. This is what drove Harry crazy. He could not believe that I, for the most part, don't think. Well, a lot of you can believe I don't think. But you understand what I'm saying? You've got to risk it. You gotta risk just being instead of trying to be. You gotta risk just being instead of thinking about being. What? You're thinking about being.
I'm thinking about the position of being able to say those words. There's like this, we're talking about the predicate. If you're not settled with who you are and you say those words, you're probably double-minded while you're saying them because you've never dealt with the fact that it's Christ in you that's even speaking. And I think that's why we're called believers.
That's why what?
That's why we're called believers. I mean, you gotta believe that.
I know more, much more
it's
than
not
believe
even,
it.
You
have to
die
live
it. Because you don't have to nothing, you die.
Right. You live. It's your only life. Thy
right.
kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not mine.
Yeah.
Nothing about me.
And that's what Christ says. Nothing about me. He wasn't about himself.
And then we will always come back to self for some. Every time I go in the lair and see the row of labels for a minute, go, boom. And I say, Father, forgive me. Every time I give breath to pain, I say, Father, forgive me. But the point of it is, the blood of Christ, he's faithful. The blood of Christ is to cleanse us from all trespass.
Right.
He doesn't cleanse us from all sin. Sin has to be dealt with before anything else can happen. Sin has to be seen as you. Not part of you, not what you do, but who you are itself. Otherwise, nothing can be seen. You'll stay double-minded your whole life. That's why you're the chief of sinners. The only chief of sinner is who? The Antichrist. Paul, when he said, I am a chief of sinners without a doubt, he knew he was the Antichrist. The instead of. This man of sin, son of perdition, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But the problem is you do it with impunity. What? Does anybody, please, if you don't understand, if there's some aspect of it that, I mean, this is, I repeat it over and over and over and over. 5 minutes later, I see somebody bringing himself back into self. Is this just some future philosophy to you? This is what my concern was when I was thought I was dying. Is this a philosophy? Is it something you think about? Is it something that maybe you're trying to live? You're trying to do it?
Well, I think the answer to that is that it comes down to you have to constantly repent because you're not going to constantly be able to not get crazy about whatever happens, you know, And I'd really like to not have to repent every other breath, but I'm just going to have to live with that.
You see what the cause of that is? We see ourselves as distinct. You understand what distinct means? Distinct has to mean separate. We see ourselves as distinct entities that are dealing with things. As opposed to seeing yourself as only a vessel until there is no even seeing that you just you're just constantly in a state of this glorious vacuum where there is no it's just life. Now do you think, I mean, I'm serious. I want you to tell me, do you think it's impossible to stop seeing yourself as this distinct entity?
The example that I have in the flesh is you. And even you get crazy about the pain, or crazy about the labels, or crazy about anything.
Of course.
And
but it doesn't.
The person who's telling me these things has the same problems that I deal with every day. Then I don't know where to get off the merry-go-round.
That's why we study the scriptures so much.
Yeah.
That's why the cross alone is preached.
I agree with that. I mean, that's why I want to come to morning Bible study every single time I'm in town, because I need to have at least the perception that there is an exit from the merry-go-round somewhere.
I'm on it, and then I repent and I get off it. And then I find there are times that the conditioned response that I've had my whole life, a lot of those I don't have like I used to. But I still have engraven, you know, I still have certain responses that take me, that keep me on the merry-go-round, and I have to repent.
And so what are the responses?
My response is I get pissed off at what I perceive to be stupidity. So I'm taking a righteous stand.
And the instant that happens, what happens?
A sense of superiority.
Right.
That I'm judging and I know better.
But the instant that happens, then you can't resurrect a little bit of him, the evil one. You resurrect all of him. But
that's unfair because I'm bringing other people into the.
No, I understand. But
there are a lot of other times where there are not other people involved. It's just me, for some reason, getting angry with myself or whatever it could be. Who knows what it could be, like. Maybe I was spanked inappropriately when I was five.
Or maybe you weren't spanked when you appropriately should have been.
Yeah.
That's another way to look at it.
Probably.
No, this is to me, there's things that happen internally when you, and I thought I was going to die numerous times. I thought I was going to die several times when I was working for the government. That's another story, but I thought I was going to die with conversion experience. I thought I was going to die of starvation after this conversion experience. I thought I was going to die when I was electrocuted. I thought I was going to die when I was held hostage. I thought I was going to die a few days ago. And it happens. This thing happens in me whenever that takes place, even when I was a pagan. And the thing that happens is, when I was a pagan, it was, what the hell does all this mean? What difference does it make if I die or not? When I was a new believer, when I thought I was going to die, the thing was, am I complete in him? Am I lacking? The thing that was going to die this time was, are you complete in him? And I mean the you that I have anything dealings with. And it's, I'm not trying to be Mother Superior, and I'm certainly not, if you all know me well enough to know that. But there's a real and honest and complete concern that somehow I haven't been able to express to the people that I have been involved with since the day I've been a believer. I haven't been able to express this, I don't know how to say it.
Zeal, isn't it? I mean, I know what
no,
you're
no,
talking
no, no,
about.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's the idea that this isn't a new way of thinking about stuff. this isn't a different way of responding to life or the world. This is the end. That's what death is. It's over. And do you know your life is over? That's the question. And this is that mystery of Paul. You know, I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Now that issue. It's the issue of everything, because if once you can say, yet not I that liveth, and know it, then it's like shedding, it's like taking off something or sliding into something new, as we've talked about, instead of trying to fix the thing that's going on. Now, trying to fix the thing that's going on is everything about our lives. Now, I still try to fix this pain because I don't like it. But I know that I can't be fixed, and nothing that I'm doing can be fixed, and maybe even nothing that I'm teaching can be fixed. But this I know for a certainty, that this isn't you getting fixed. This isn't you changing. This is you dying. This is why, and it's not you dying in a process. It's seeing yourself as already dead and not giving breath then to anything that liveth, unless you find that that new thing that you're doing is more important than this thing. But I don't think you can do two things. You can't try to understand and be apprehended by the mystery of God and at the same time continue on your own life. You can't do that, because that is the definition of double-mindedness. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
So, and that really, really, really means, you know, most of you know that I've financed the foundation for a long time. I am on the verge of being totally out of money. I had saved since I started getting Social Security, and I get the $600 a month from the electrocution. I had saved close to $100,000. And since then, that's just when did I get Social Security?
65 and a half.
Huh?
10 years ago.
65.
He didn't do it when he was 65. He didn't wait. He didn't do it till he was 69.
No, I did too. I did it at 65. I promise you, I did it at 65.
Oh, whichever.
Huh?
You know.
Well, the point is that that's a lot of money to save with making no money. And all, and then, I'd take people out to dinner, and it's kind of a nice feeling. But my deal with God is, God, I'm this is no longer my business. I'm going to give everything I have and wait. Now that happened, months ago. Carolyn and I talked about it a long time ago. Now, I have no doubt that God is faithful. It's no longer my life. None of that is any more my business. Now, all I'm asking you to see is that there's a possibility that that same kind of situation, no matter what it is, no matter what you're dealing with, that you can say, that is no longer my business. I have no investment in the outcome of that. I'm sorry I had to be personal, but that's the only way I can describe this latest business. But it was a It was a certainty. It's the stupidest thing that anybody could ever do.
Why?
Why?
I'm sorry.
What's the why?
Why is it stupid?
For me to give everything I had?
But it was right for you.
No,
I'm sorry, dear.
Listen, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me.
Maybe I'm not, but...
It's the stupidest thing from my mind standpoint that I could ever do. In fact, my whole life for the last 40 years is the stupidest thing my mind could ever think of.
Yeah, the mind can't grasp trusting God.
No, what I'm saying to you though is, which one are you, which playing field are you playing in? Are you still over here trying to do stuff, or have you in essence given your whole to the new thing? Maybe that's what zeal is. Maybe that's what repentance is. I don't know. Right now, I'm just trying to describe to you from the Lord's Prayer. That's what we started all this, is how incredibly important it is to see which side of the fence you're on. Now, does everybody have to give up everything they own? I don't think so. That's kind of crazy. Whatever the thing is. I'm just telling you, for me, that was the thing recently. Now, for you, there's got to be something like that. Each one of you are dealing with something that is of that nature, that's extremely important to you. Now, I'm asking you today to consider this instant. That's no longer my business. That's all I'm saying. That part that I thought was so important, that thing, whatever it is, it's no longer my business. That's what faith is. And I think that has that finding that everybody, no matter who they are, believers or not, they'll find themselves at some point in that condition. Now, does that communicate to anybody?
Yeah, I mean that matches at least a little something. Where I work and how long I work and how, you know, all the other things associated with work, I recognize that really isn't my business. And I figured out that it's just possible that maybe God wants me to write some of the things that I'm trying to write, you know.
Amen. I told you, amen.
I'm okay with that. People, you know, ask me questions like, when's your contract end? Well, okay, it ends in August then. I don't really have a plan for whether to extend that contract or find another contract or come home and work, be a greeter at Walmart. It doesn't really matter to me. If everything continues as it is now and they offer me an extension, I'll extend, because it's just easier to go with the inertia. You know, that's the way that things are going. And I don't have any real investment in that. It doesn't bother me to be there. It bothers me not to be here, but it doesn't, you know, it's okay. When you talk like this, Ole, I always hear that thing about filling up the affliction that's lacking in the body of Christ. God knows that there's no purpose to being here on this planet other than filling up affliction, which is not pleasant things that are happening to us. So, you know, I'm not really worried about it. You know, if it happens, you know, hopefully I'll be able to repent when the time comes, and that's about as much thought as I give to it.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying any person here in anything they're doing, they shouldn't be doing it. That's not my business. But I am saying that in order for this mystery of God to be made meet, there will be this thing that happens, and it's happened to me many times. I mean, it didn't just happen once. But there'll be a thing that's going on in your life, and that's sort of gotten you consumed and concerned, and that which saying is what if whatever that is, and it's happened to me, I can't count them, but I'm sure thousands of times over the 40 years I've been a believer. That's something, I can remember a few of them. But anyway, the whole idea is this almost miraculous recognition that this thing that I'm concerned with over here, my God, that's not my business. And that's what I'm trying to say, because at that point, then you are looking from the top down. You're saying to the Father, not my will, but thine.
Yeah.
And these have to be important things that have some measure of bigness, is the only way I can think of it, that you've been dealing with. And whatever it is, all I'm saying is the more times that you go through this life and this thing we call discipleship, and you find out, and you say, I've been struggling with this, and then all of a sudden, my God, that's no longer, you got to say it, because by your mind, you have to say, this is stupid. But by your spirit, you say, Father, forgive me, this is no longer my business. And I believe those issues that transpire in our lives, some of them are really, really big and dramatic, and some of them are little, minor, relatively so. But those are the times, if there's anything that you're dealing with, to say to the Father, right now, that's no longer my business. And that comes, and the peace that overshadows you, and the freedom that comes from that, is the mystery of the peace of God. It's the mystery of seeing from the top down. It's the mystery of what true repentance is. It's the mystery of what the mind of Christ is. Because you know he did this. He saw things. He saw all kinds of stuff that had to trouble him to the nth and triple nth degree. And sometimes the Lord, the Father said, here, deal with this. But most of the time, with the power that God said, my son, this is no longer your business. And that's what I'm trying to say to each one. And it's not a bad thing. But you're tricked. Your mind gets tricked into thinking something that you're doing is important. And so whatever it is, that's all that this thing, that's why when we talked about the Lord's Prayer, that this whole thing came on me that I've talked about today. That we can say, my God, that's no longer my business. And when you can say it about your entire being, then that's a whole other world. But sometimes you've got to go to the they're big steps, but from God's standpoint, that's just a little step. But to you, they're humongous steps.
Yeah.
Father, that's no longer my business. And that's. I didn't mean to make this morning any kind of a challenge to you or something. I'm trying to give you freedom. I'm trying to see what to be free really means. And it means in each and every area of life, Father, that's no longer my business. Amen.
I saw this last night with the family talking about Shannon, and it was like they were saying, we're going to have to let her go at some point. But my response was, you're not going to have to do it now. Get out of the tension of that, because she's already in God's hands, and by saying that, you're not recognizing she really is.
Right.
And in fact, you are too. And all these releases, letting go, which is opposite to human nature, we want to grab and hold. But once you do that, and just what you said here, you let it go, and then it's in God's hands for real.
Right. It's no longer. this is a. This has to be an act of grace, because we can't hardly conceive of it. And then the recognition that it's grace. With grace always comes peace. And then when that happens. And there's grace and peace, and then the faith is automatic. Faith then becomes unconscious. It's as automatic as your heart beating. Am I communicating anything? I just want this to be shared and lived, because it's such an incredible way of living. And it's him.
Well, you have communicated, but God has also communicated. That's got to be one of the Swiss Army knife things about Shannon, is to remind us all that life is like that. You know, your next breath is a gift from God too. I mean, I was thinking about that today, and I'd never had the thought before, but I said, I'm sure that Methuselah's family is busy saying, oh, 969, he could hung on another couple of years, easy. You know, nobody's ready to die.
Well, everything I've said this morning is the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. That's the coda. Once again, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of the presence. Fulfill us with your flesh and blood.
Amen.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Above all, lead us not into temptation. Let nothing lead us inward. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Forever and ever, amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What are you thinking about, John? Amen? Carolyn?
An issue that needs to be addressed, then it's not stupid. Forays into silliness, yes, but it's not stupid.
For me, for my mind, it was stupid. Okay?
That's your call.
What I was talking about. Okay, I wasn't saying it. All right. Anybody else? Anybody? Do you see anything this morning? A little bit?
I'm glad for a chance to get back every now and then and get
Nobody even noticed I shaved. Razors.
You said it.
Never mind.
Told it twice.
We can turn this thing on.
Nobody cares. Oh, take it, big guy. I'm sorry.